President Truman has designated this week as Fire Prevention Week. 90% of the fires that are threatening the welfare of us all can be prevented if you will institute a year-round inspection program of your property today. Now for a preview of tomorrow's yarn by the night editor, back to Hal Burdick's news office.
Hal, I've got a story with some dramatic action and some smiles for tomorrow night. It's a football yarn titled Rub-A-Dub. No, it isn't about the three men in a tub. It's about a lad who got himself into a jam and another lad who found a strange way to help him win a football game and his self-respect. I'll tell you about it when we meet in my office tomorrow evening. Good night.
Rub-A-Dub sounds like an exciting yarn, Hal, and we'll be there to hear you tell it. Remember, tomorrow night at the same time, press time. Clarence Cassell speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Victory a sweet dish, or isn't it? And how do you think those lights look in Europe after 5 years of blackout going on to six? Brother, pretty good. Pretty good, sister. The kids of Poland soon will know what an orange tastes like. And the smell of honest-to-God bread, freshly made and sawdust-free, will create a stir in the streets of Athens. There's a hot time in the old town of Dnipropetrovsk tonight. And it is reasonable to assume the same goes for 1,000 other cities, including some Scandinavian. It can at last be said without jinxing the campaign, somehow the decadent democracies, the bungling Bolsheviks, the saps and softies, were tougher in the end than the brown shirt bully boys, and smarter too, for without whipping a priest, burning a book, or slugging a Jew, without corralling a girl in a brothel or bleeding a child for plasma, far-flung ordinary men, unspectacular but free, rousing out of their habits in their homes, got up early one morning, flexed their muscles, learned as amateurs the manual of arms, and set out across perilous plains and oceans to waft the bejeepers out of the professionals. This they did. For confirmation, see the last communique bearing the mark of the Allied High Command. Clip it out of the morning paper and hand it over to your children for safekeeping.
We're going to tell the postman next time he comes around that Mr. Hitler's new address is the Berlin Burying Ground. Round and around Hitler's grave, round and around we go.
Jack and Mary are driving back from San Francisco, where we did our last broadcast, so we'll pick them up in the Maxwell en route to Hollywood. Take it away, Highway 99.
Well, Mary, we sure had a nice time in San Francisco, didn't we?
Yeah. But, gee, this is a long drive. We left Thursday, and here it is Sunday.
It's Rochester's fault. Well, at least we haven't had any tire trouble. You didn't hear a blowout on the whole trip.
Of course not. Those tires are too old to make a noise.
Say, we ought to be getting into Los Angeles pretty soon. Rochester, you sure we're on the right road?
I think so. There's a sign there that says San Diego Zoo.
Zoo? That's San Diego 200. Zoo. Say, at that, we must be in the Los Angeles city limits.
We've been there for 2 days.
That's so. Gee, Mary, you're comical.
Say, Mr. Denny.
What is it?
I hate to keep bringing this up all the time, but we need gas.
Now, we don't need any gas. Look at that gauge. It registers 12.
That's the speedometer.
Well, wait till we run out. Gas, gas. This car's got an appetite like a blonde.
Pull over, Rochester.
What's the matter?
A man on a bicycle wants to pass us.
Oh, well, let him go if he's in such a rush.
Get off the highway, you road hog.
I'll go button your lip.
Says who?
Says me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
If this argument expands, I'm neutral.
Don't worry. He's just showing off on that bicycle of his. I hope he gets a puncture. Serves him right. Goody, goody.
That's us, boy.
R.C. Is a spectacular end with a tremendous gimmick as far as that alley-oop pass goes. At the same time, looking at it from the coaching or the team standpoint, he is not the speedy, fast end that a lot of players in the league are. So you have to come down to it. It's a colorful, spectacular something that R.C. has, but I just have to leave it like that. From my own standpoint, he's an admirable guy, and I hope that he's with us next year.
Dan, that's a fine answer under most trying circumstances. If it sounds like the walls are coming down around the San Francisco 49ers and KCBS, you may be right.
I thought that was R.C. or his rooting section coming in after me.
The Palace Hotel seems to have started construction as of this moment on one of our back walls. And they have just broken through the back wall, and someone is peering through the hole in the wall.
Sure. I'm Pat Novak. For hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak for hire. You don't get in the blue book that way, but you don't embarrass your friends either. Because down on the waterfront in San Francisco, they don't separate the good and the bad. It was about 7 o'clock, and I just started back across the bay from Sausalito. You could still see Mount Tamalpais squatting on the Marin shore, light brown near the top, but dark and black farther down. Like a cupcake that's been in the oven a little too long. A low fog was beginning to squeeze in on the far side, so I kicked in the searchlight, and that's when I picked him up. He was struggling feebly with his face near the water. And
Calumet baking powder.
Come on, get up, get out of the hay. The breakfast gets here, we'll brighten your day. We'll bring you laughter and music and song. Chase all your worries, you won't have them long. Wake up, stop yawning, we'll open your eyes. Have you been going with our exercise? Breakfast is ready, we'll start with a bang. And wish you good morning from the Breakfast Gang.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Breakfast Gang. With Amy, Julie Mason, Sweeney, and your host,
Sal Bear.
And Lal Bardo and our Breakfast Gang band. Good morning, neighbors. It's 16 minutes past 7 o'clock. This is the Breakfast Gang. We're going to start everything this morning.
The Carefree Carnival.
Smile with me and be carefree, and you will see what it will do. Just keep your chin up and grin up your sleeve when Mr. Blue starts to leave. Smile with me and be carefree. Together we will see it through. Cause if you're happy and healthy, the heck with being wealthy. Here's a smile for you.
The Carefree Carnival with Meredith Wilson's music, the host of entertainers, and Ned Collinger as master of ceremonies. Here he is, Ned Collinger.
Thank you and good evening, everyone.
Hello, Yukon 28209. Yes, this is Candy Matson. Cut. Come on, Mellard. Stop pouting. Enjoy yourself. It's earlier than you think.
Monterey at Christmas time is delightful. Carmel is most enchanting. Salinas, I enjoy. But to haul us way over to some unexplored cannibal country is too much.
Did you hear that, Rembrandt? Cannibal country, he calls it.
Mad at me, boy. This may come as a shock, but San Juan Bautista was founded by the Franciscan fathers in 1797.
I remember it as though it were yesterday.
Don't let him bother you, Ducky. Mellard can't stand this wonderful air. He misses the gas fumes of the big city.
What?
It'll never work, McGee.
What do you mean it'll never work? My gosh, Molly.
Let me get this straight again.
Yeah?
You claim that you can fix this radio set so it'll tune in programs that were broadcast 20 years ago?
25 years ago, even. I'm rewiring it so I can tune it to different years instead of different stations, you see?
No, I don't.
Well, look, Tootsie. According to the McGee theory of radio Dianetics, which I'm the guy that thought it up, I claim that when you hear a broadcast once, that ain't necessarily the end of it, you see? It don't just disappear. In other words, old radio programs never die.
I know one that dies every Tuesday night.
Well, that ain't what I mean. I mean that they're still out there, bouncing around in the air, waiting for somebody to tune them in again. And I'm the guy that can do it.
What's our congressman's phone number?
Why?
Well, if there isn't a law against that, I'll help him write one.
Oh, yeah? You change your mind when I get this baby working, Molly. We'll make a few more adjustments here. Get the king bolt tightened up a little bit. I'll be ready to try it. And
you want to buy a duck?
Reminiscing, I feel you near. Once more, you're my love of yesteryear.
Your old friend Singin' Sam. So let's just settle back and reminisce a bit. What do you say, huh?
Smith and his whispering strings once more, bringing you his intimate melodies sung as only he can sing them. This electrically transcribed program by the one and only whispering baritone is brought to you by ironized yeast, the new yeast vitamin B and iron tablets through which people everywhere who are thin and run down because they need these vitamins are gaining new
It's a wide-open race in the American League pennant race. The two-day, one-game lead enjoyed by the Boston Red Sox was wiped out tonight, and now the Yankees and the Sox are tied for the lead with three games to go, the last two against each other this weekend in New York. First, New York overcame a one-run lead to beat the Philadelphia Athletics 7-5 this afternoon to trim Boston's lead to a half a game. In the Governor's Cup playoffs at Gilmore Field in Hollywood, the Sacramento Solons are leading the champion Hollywood Stars 3-2 in the top of the ninth inning. Oakland defeated the San Diego Padres 13-3 in the other playoff game. Then under the floodlights in Washington, the tired old Senators came to life in the last of the ninth inning to upset the Red Sox 2-1. Washington's winning run was scored when relief pitcher Mel Parnell indulged in a wild pitch. The situation is static in the National League race. Both Brooklyn and St. Louis were rained out. So tomorrow, the Dodgers, trailing the Cardinals by one game, will play a doubleheader at Boston, and the Cardinals will use tomorrow's open date for their game at Pittsburgh. Incidentally, if the Dodgers blow one more game, they can forget their pennant hopes for another year. In Detroit, the deadline has passed for the strike of 115,000 Ford workers, but settlement of the dispute is so near that the United Auto Workers decided to postpone the walkout for at least a day or two. A spokesman for the Ford Motor Company said agreement in principle has been reached and is now a case of getting together on the language of the contract. If the Ford workers accept the contract, when the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, they'll get pension and health insurance benefits amounting to 10 cents an hour. The pension plan is designed to enable a Ford worker at the age of 65 to retire with an income of $100 a month, including government social security.
London is not blinded by the fighting in the Pacific sector to the fact that there are many other sectors. In Russia, the Moscow radio broadcast a special announcement that Russian troops have recaptured Tigrin in the north, and we heard that broadcast in London. In Libya, the main fighting is apparently still going on between Tobruk and Bir el Gobi. Mobile British columns are also operating toward the enemy's lines of communications west of Tobruk, but here British action is limited by the presence at El Adam of a big enemy force of all arms. British Coastal Command planes attacked a large enemy supply ship off the Dutch coast.
This is Elmer Peterson speaking from the NBC newsroom.
And now to the editorial room of the Jurgens Journal and Walter Winchell.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America, and all the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press. Flash, London. The terms of surrender for the Italian army in Ethiopia have just been handed to Mussolini's representatives. London. Reports persisted in England today that the wife of Rudolf Hess has been arrested by the Nazi police. Boston, Massachusetts. The condition of Franklin Delano Roosevelt Jr., who was hurt today in a motor car crash near Walpole, Massachusetts, is not serious. The president's boy, an ensign in the Naval Reserve, turned over when a tire blew out. Philadelphia. The G-men are investigating the $1 million shipyard fire today, which caused the death of Michael Regan, the watchman. Regan was found under piles of wreckage at the yard, which deals mainly in defense work. Police believe Regan was murdered by saboteurs. Washington. The federal agents and the police arrested aliens all over the nation during the weekend. The coast-to-coast total was 169 arrests. 92 of the aliens were arrested in New York City, 28 in Florida, and 15 in San Francisco.
Rock was not entirely convinced that George Gipp was well. But when the game started, the Gipper was on the bench, huddled in blankets. It was cold. All through the early part of the game, Gipp sat on the bench and suffered. The football fans in the stands, not knowing how sick he was, thundered his name and called for the great Gipp to play. Finally, in the last quarter, he begged Rock to let him play. In went Gipp, and during those few minutes, he played the greatest football of his career. But when the Notre Dame team returned to South Bend, George Gipp was sicker than ever. They put him in bed in the college infirmary, and he never left it again. As he lay there, the whole school stood outside George Gipp's window in the deep snow drifts and waited for the hospital bulletins. 2 weeks later, he died while the silent watchers knelt and prayed in the snow. On his deathbed, George Gipp turned to his coach, Knute Rockne, and whispered, "Rock, sometimes when the going is tough, when the odds are against us, ask a Notre Dame team to win a game for me. Ask him to win one for the Gipper."
World Today. The Columbia Broadcasting System now presents a summary of news to this moment on the war with Japan and other world fighting fronts, reports by CBS correspondents in the war zones, direct by Trans-Pacific and Transatlantic Shortwave Radio, and the minute-by-minute developments as received by Columbia's newsroom here in New York. Tonight, John Daly will call in Albert Warner from Washington and Bob Trout from London, and we will take you to the West Coast for direct reports from the Pacific war zones. And now, John Daly.
First, the highlights in the war news before taking you to Washington for the direct report on important developments there. Berlin reports Japanese troops have crossed Thailand's border and have started a drive on the Burma Road. The report that Japanese troops have landed on Lubang Island in the Philippines is not confirmed. The island of Guam is reported still in American hands. Manila has had new air raid alarms, but no bombings are reported, and it's believed Fifth Column action may have been responsible. The latest CBS message from Honolulu says Hawaii is calm and morale high. The latest claims of the Japanese High Command reported in propaganda broadcasts from Tokyo describe destructive air raids on Malaya and a land attack on both Singapore and the...
Flashman G's present, I Love a Mystery. Nine o'clock in the morning finds the three soldiers of adventure, Jack Packard, Doc Long, and Reggie York, in the Roxy City Jail. Roxy is a coast town of 5,000, at one time notorious as a liquor smuggling center, but for several years now has been out of the public eye. The three men had set out from San Francisco last night, hard-pressed by the police, heading for Sacramento. And so at 9 o'clock this morning, the three find themselves none too comfortably ensconced in the city lockup.
Is the kid still asleep, Doc?
Yeah, he ain't only asleep, but he's smiling in his sleep. It's disgusting.
Well, let him alone. Anybody who can sleep on a jail bed deserves his rest.
Dadgummit, Jack, I'm a cheerful kind of cuss, and I got me a lot of faith in mankind. But if I stay in this here Roxy City dog pound another 24 hours, I'm...
Oh, I don't know.
Where's Ichabod? Oh, did you get a saddle for him?
Yep. I was putting it on him when you came over.
Has anyone called to claim him yet?
Not yet, so we can ride him today.
First, we'll ride him together, and then, after I'm not nervous, I want to ride up and down the alley by myself.
Then what are you going to do?
Well, then I'm going to gallop in front of Sybil's house and wave to her.
Yeah, but you don't know how to gallop.
I don't have to. It's the horse that's going to gallop. I'll just sit on him and smile.
How many times have you been on a horse, Sally?
Well, to tell the truth, Cecil, only twice before.
Only twice?
Well, that's all right. Maybe Ichabod's only been ridden on twice before. We'll start even.
Are you going to ride in front of me or in back?
I better...
...produced by a staff of 117 homemakers. No wonder you're assured of such baking success. Well, how do you like your new gown, Joan?
Well, I think that'll fit beautifully. It won't even need to be tailored.
Oh, fine. Just your size, and well, do you know what I think would go beautifully with it? Some of those full-fashioned nylon stockings. And here they are. Full-fashioned nylon stockings and a sack of fairy drifted snowflower, and there it is. Don't you go away, Loretta.
Something exciting happens at Harrah's Lake Tahoe each evening through June 16th. Robert Goulet stars in two shows nightly at Harrah's South Shore Room with the great comedy team of Phil Ford and Mimi Hines. Come to Harrah's to hear Robert Goulet sing.
You stepped out of a dream.
Something exciting happens at Harrah's Lake Tahoe each evening through June 16th. Robert Goulet stars in two shows nightly at Harrah's South Shore Room with the great comedy team of Phil Ford and Mimi Hines. Come to Harrah's to hear Robert Goulet sing.
You stepped out of a dream. You are too wonderful.
And in pictures, Victor Herbert's tuneful Naughty Marietta has entertained millions of music lovers. Igor Gorin sings the best-loved song from that great show, the famous dream melody, Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life.
Ah,
mystery of life at last I found thee. I know at last the secret of it all. All the longing, seeking, striving, waiting, yearning, the burning hope, the joy and idle tears that fall.
Just sung for you, Figaro, the on the stage and in pictures, Victor Herbert's tuneful Naughty Marietta has.